And that's how we're going to get started today, because it's one of the episodes. But hey, welcome back to another episode of Politics as Usual. We'll see. These aren't usual times, so it can't be a usual show. But yo, I'm hella excited that we're back here with both of our hosts. Welcome back to both of our hosts here. We had DeMarco Davidson's in the building. What's up?
What's up, everybody?
And then last but absolutely not least, man.
Last to me.
We got the good brother, Chris Carter, man. He made time for us, man. What's up, Chris? What's the word?
Hey.
We back in this joint, man. Yeah, we just threw in another kappa for Chris's absence last time. It just so happened to be the president of the Democratic Party of Missouri. But here we are.
From the same chapter, too. So it's all good.
Hey, y'all doing good things down there, man. I don't want to run down the list of all the things the brothers from my chapter doing, but that's a conversation for another time. But
to the brothers from the Firehouse chapter of Gamma Phi.
Yeah.
So we back, man. I'm excited, man. It's a to say it's an interesting time would be the undersell of a lifetime to talk about the political climate of the world right now, man. So I just started off, man. What's going on with y'all brothers? What y'all had y'all eyes on? How life been treating y'all?
Marco?
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's definitely been, again, continue to be unusual times, man, and definitely a mix of positive and I can't even, it's not just negative, it's just a lot of rough times, right, for family members, for loved ones, you know, and even still losing family members to complications of COVID. So, again, it's real, and recognizing and seeing the COVID numbers going up in, like, 30 states. So just recognizing, seeing that, right? So again, I'm just encouraging people, man, to breathe and pause, take time, like, you know, and even shared a post last week that, yo, Black people, it's okay to not be okay, you know? One thing I have been focusing on and keeping track of course, is the mayoral race in St. Louis City. Like, wow. I'm back, like, shout out to St. Louis Area Voter Initiative, as well as the ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And of course, everybody in their founders days, like shout out to all of them, that's too many to name. But they actually had a forum this past Thursday with all the St. Louis City mayoral candidates and then the grassroots organizations, Action STL, Arch City Defenders, Metropolitan Congregations United, Faith for Justice, and several others. I can't think of all of them right now, but they actually had a debate. And it was like the forum was a forum, and it got a little, you know, rowdy every once in a while, but the debate was definitely a debate this past Sunday. So that was real interesting to see that race coming up and how things have been going as well. So
Marco, did anybody stick out in during the debate or the forum? Was there anybody?
Oh, for sure. I would say the clear winner of, if there is a winner, right? I like competition. And understanding approval voting is that so you can have more than one. Tashara Jones definitely showed up and showed out when they asked her the questions. She literally always had time left because she would answer succinctly and then be quiet. Like, that's one of the keys to winning debates. She would answer the question. That was it. Kara Spencer did well. You could tell that she was still a little rough around the edges on some things, but she got experience as an older person. And been involved in politics for a while, so she did good. Lewis Reed, he could have done better. He always could do better, to me, in my opinion, because I think he also has some of the most experience, basically being a citywide president of board of aldermen. And I think that's one of the challenges for him is that he has so much information that it's hard for him to bust the breakdown and to actually answer one.
I disagree with you on that, Lewis.
Okay. Andrew Jones, who's a Republican, right? Because, so, mind you, this is nonpartisan in the primary, right? So we probably never would even heard of this dude, but he's in this race with all these other Democrats now. And he's a Black guy who is apparently a business professional, real heady. He's real heady and keeps talking about plans, strategies, and he comes off as, everyone else don't have a plan, and that's why we need to make one. So, and he doesn't articulate to me, in my opinion.
But listen, though, Marco, ain't that what, I mean, we want to hear detailed plans.
We want to hear the details, yeah. So Tashara would do that.
Who's Kara would do that. Giving details? Tell me right now, because you said that Lewis, and I love Lewis, you said that Lewis has too much information. I think that I think that we should be hearing detailed plans about who we want to run our city. We don't want to hear the vague answer that folks always give. We want to hear detailed, extreme plans on how we're going to end poverty, how we're going to increase education for all. And, you know, how we going to turn up the STL economy, man, and bring business back and end crime. That's what we want to do.
Right. So yeah. So therefore,
detailed plan.
So DeMarco, let me ask you though: when you say too much information, sometimes I feel like people can say too many words and not give me enough information. Like I was like, yeah, you just talked a lot, but what did I take away from it? Did you feel like when Lewis was speaking that you came away with at least an understanding of where things was going? And I guess it would also go for the other candidate that you were talking about, saying that he had a plan. But it wasn't, you know, nobody else had.
So Andrew Jones, no, I don't even want to continue talking about him. Like, many blessings to him. You know, congratulations for him being able to run. Like, so I don't knock that. But when it comes to Lewis Reed, and I didn't mean too much information. I also mean, like, too much experience. In the realm of he was trying to tell stories instead of giving direct answers.
Oh, the Biden.
Exactly. He's pulling some Joe Biden's. It was like, dude, you ran out of time, man. Like, these are one minute.
So let me ask you, during the debate, was Lewis asked, we're only talking about Lewis because you said he had too much information, but did he talk about the impact that he has made now as president of the Board of Aldermen? Because now, I mean, he sit on the board of ENA, which that's probably that's the most important board just in terms of funding. The city budget, that's the most important board that makes a majority of the top budgetary choices for our city. So what was he saying about the things that he has done? Like, what was his claim to fame? Like, what was his thing that he has done? Why he feels like he should be the next mayor?
Right. So, he shared some of that. He did do that. I think one of the other challenges was he also was trying to take shots at Kara all in 1 minute. So he would say, like, Kara ain't doing this, Kara not doing that, but this is what we tried to do. And by that time, he was getting muted. So he break down, like I said, and that's what comes in the experience. But again, he's trying to tell them in story mode and not the, this is what we've done, this is what we continue to do, and I can do this as mayor. And that's always been my challenge with Lewis Reed. Like, and I respect him because, again, he's been in office for I don't know how many years. I respect that. But you already, the president of Board of Aldermen, you already one of the top decision makers in St. Louis City. Like,
but he controlled the legislation that moved through the city. So,
yeah. Like, so.
He should be able to name some key legislation that he has moved forward to move our city forward. And if he can't do that,
right. I think that's one of the challenges is that we often don't know the bill codes and the number codes. Yeah. He's doing that quite a bit too. So I think for this is, you know, a lot of times forums, debates, things like that are usually for the uninitiated, right? Or these aren't the political heads that know these things. And so that's one of the challenges I think Lewis Reed has. He's going to have to figure out how to get over that because some of the things he ended up talking on people's heads.
Yeah.
And it may sound great, but like, and Tashara Jones again, she like, you know, for example, like the question they had one question on the Action STL debate. They literally said, answer yes or no. That's it. And Tashara,
yeah, you why though.
Exactly. Kara was like, I don't even feel comfortable saying something. Like it's too, you know, I don't know. Andrew, the question was about would they be willing to put for different bills, not bills, sorry, for different contracts and community agreements, community development agreements. Would they be willing to do that on all like new developments?
Yeah. It should be like,
Tashara said yes.
That's an easy yes. That's an easy yes.
So let me ask you, DeMarco, let me ask you about this. Do you feel like you saw any difference in some of the candidates that have run in the past this time around? Like, did you see some of that experience that from that from, you know, taking the loss last time, that it turned around any differently this time around?
No. I mean, because I've seen Lewis Reed run for president, board of aldermen, and mayor multiple times. You know, I don't know who's working with him to get him to get on point. Tashara, I think, came off much more crisp, you know, than in the past. Kara still holds her own in between those two, you know? Again, if I'm thinking of approval voting, right, you can choose more than one. Like, it's definitely, those are the three that people will be looking at. And it's a matter of, so then it comes down to, like, who will be the South Side? Who will really pull that South Side vote?
Chris, I was good. And I'm glad you said that too, DeMarco, because Chris, my question for you is, how do you think that you'll see a difference in how these candidates are going to go about campaigning and getting that word out there due to the difference in how the approval voting is going to impact how they move forward?
Well, I think that everybody is going to try to appeal to their base. I mean, to pull out that base. I'm pretty sure that I've actually campaigned I've campaigned with Tashara, I've campaigned with Lewis, and I campaigned with Kara. I'm almost 100% sure that they are going to stick heavily to their base and try to peel off a few wards and or a few neighborhoods where they think that they can swing. You know, I don't think that anybody would be moving too far off into an area where they aren't sure where they can, you know, pull off some votes. But I'm gonna be honest with you. The last time that I canvassed for Tashara when she ran for treasurer the last time with her, side by side her, and we canvassed in Kara's ward. That was extremely interesting. We went on Kara's block. It was a time right when Kara had announced, and Tashara was a household name on those blocks. I think that Kara will struggle with name ID just across the city alone. But I think that if she has a number in her head, just in terms of how many votes that she thinks she needs to win, and she knows where she could get them from, she gonna try to get it. I think that Tashara and Lewis have the bigger name IDs because they have ran citywide and have been on the ballot multiple times citywide. They have mailed citywide multiple times. And so it just comes down to between them two, who has the better campaign strategy and who has the better message. I think that right now, man, people are reading. I think messaging is key. You know, Tashara is always strategic when it comes to messaging. I'm not sure who Lewis has working with him. Lewis always puts out an okay message, but it's never enough. It's never like a message that will excite you. But I think that
he has that machine too. He has a machine.
Yeah, look,
they stabilizes him. Like, you know.
Yeah, look, Lewis know where he got his votes from for the president of the board of aldermen race. And I think his struggle is getting those votes to turn for him for mayor. I mean, that's weird that people would think that you are good enough to be the president of the board, but not the mayor. That's something that I don't understand, because most of the time it's a transition.
How do you all think that, I want to hit a couple other things. So I want to lead us here. You know, we're in the, I don't want to necessarily say the early stages, because people are certainly forming opinions. And when you're having debates, you know, people are making decisions. How do you think that still the environment we're in with the pandemic and with the social distancing and things like that, people are going to be able to cross those barriers and get in front of people that maybe they wouldn't usually be in front of? Like, do you believe that the candidate that navigates both the new terrain of the approval voting and figures out the key to campaigning during the pandemic is going to have a bigger advantage than any other?
Well, no, I think the only thing that changed in terms of campaigning during a pandemic is, you know, you usually would go to large ward meetings or large neighborhood meetings of that sort to go into support. Now you just strictly have to hit doors and email accounts and mailboxes. That's your only form. But I still believe that door to door will always be the best. Even now, people will just have to mask up and pray that people answer the door. That's it. And they got to make sure that they target the right base. I think that that's always key, especially now. Like I said, but I think for me right now, it's just not exciting. I mean, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get some drawback from that. But Marco, and I'm sorry I didn't get to see the debate, but I'm not excited to. Let me draw that back.
I got a question for you as well, because this is the thing, man. This is what I'm also thinking about. Like, I wonder. I don't know the answer, right? I do not know the answer. Maybe somebody can chime in. If you see this video, you know, type it in the comments and whatnot, please. I wonder, is there an actual, people may not like this, but just I call it a pro-white base of people who like are really going to just stick with the white candidate just because of pure whiteness in St. Louis. I don't know. I do not know. In that case, then it's only going to be one candidate. And then I'm also concerned. So, and that's my question. Like, is there a white base that's like, we're going to focus on whiteness or even like pro-police base, you know, because that's been one of the challenges in two candidates. Will be probably be fighting for our three candidates will be fighting for that endorsement. But then is there a candidate that's really gonna really, like you said, Chris, excite the North Side to come out?
That's let me say this. I don't think that I think that we need a person, whoever wins, we need a person that's gonna bring all of those factors together. Cause that's the problem now. Like everything is it's so separate and folks are doing their own thing here, and we're not crossing. And that's why we don't have a lot of problems that we have in our region and in our cities. They don't get resolved because people will just stay to their own little deal. And we need a leader that's going to bring everyone together and figure out what's going to work and what don't work.
Yeah.
And so really move things forward budgetarily and try to end poverty. Look, I say this all the time, and Burgess Jones actually always say this. You find a way to end poverty, you make an impact on crime.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Poverty is definitely the father of crime. Definitely.
But this is not like what I mean is that is when I say that I'm not excited, what I'm saying is like, no, I like the candidates that are in there, but I'm not fired up. Like, I don't like, it's like, I don't want to go. Like, it's not a person that I just want to volunteer and come and knock door. Like,
right.
It's like, it's kind of like, I don't feel that, you know, I don't know if you guys, Chris,
I think you make a good point there. And I think that we saw an example of that in the last election, where if you don't move the masses, you leave open the blind side for somebody else to come in. And I think that that's what we really have to see this time is somebody that's going to make people feel excited, because sometimes it's just about momentum. Actually, forget sometimes, it is all about momentum. If you don't have that and you don't have people that are voting for you just because they believe in you, then what are you really doing? You know, and you've got to have those. And you also have to win the educated vote. You have to win the topical vote and do things like that. But if you don't do that part, you're not going to do it. We just saw a great example of that with Cori Bush. And I think that that's a good segue into what she's been up to in the very, very early stages of her career. I will give Cori this. She wasted absolutely no time in following up on exactly what she said she was going to do. I'm going to call this a Stockton and Malone situation, with Josh Hawley playing the role of John Stockton. And passing the rock directly to Cori for the Karl Malone finish. She recently filed for a resolution calling for the possible expulsion of more than 100 Republican members of the House of representatives, including five from Missouri, who voted against certifying the results of the election. Yeah. That's a hell of a debut to make right there.
Yeah, and, yeah, it's bold. Okay, I love it.
And before we talk about it, I want to quote her real quick, and this is courtesy of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Corey said that, you know, we have to send a clear message that this is not what our democracy is. We won't allow it to be, and we're stopping it in its tracks. It was, I don't know if y'all got a chance to see her speak on the floor.
I did. I seen it.
It was something. It was absolutely, I'm gonna compare it to this. If I'm gonna start in the sports world like I do when I need to make so many things make sense, it was like watching a Mike Tyson fight on like ESPN Classic from like 86. She wasted no time. There was no punches pulled. So my question for y'all, and just kind of laying it out there, two-sided question. What did you think about her early foray into combating what's been going on the national scene? And number two, what do you think that does as far as sending ripples back here in Missouri about that call to action?
So you use no sport references. I usually use music references, right? Like right now, it's all eyes on Missouri. Like it's all eyes on me right now, like for real, like, but it's MO. And I really respect Corey for how she's showing up and how she's representing. She literally is a truth teller. So I love when she said, yo, yep, like we got to get rid of the white supremacist, the chief white supremacist. Like, and that is, Donald Trump, and thank God it's his last
day. We're within 24 hours.
Yes, within 24 hours. And call it like it is. I mean, so now at the same time, this is going to be a challenge, of course. Like, everybody doesn't believe that. Everybody don't acknowledge that or accept that, whatever, right? But at least she said it, right? And she didn't. She's not hiding. She's not scared to speak on what's true, right? Or on how her district is showing up, right? And I think that's another key part, right? Because while she might be representing her district, St. Louis City, St. Louis North County, we're not clear on the rest of Missouri. So that's what I am concerned about. Who's leading the discussions and conversations throughout the rest of Missouri? Because the Missouri and Missouri might still be rocking with Holly, and that might show up, you know, in one capacity or another. So
now, Chris, we talked about this a lot last week. But as we noted at the head of the show, we didn't get a chance to get your insights into this. So we want to get them now, man. Josh Hawley, and go.
I mean, I just think that real quick, I think that Josh Hawley decided to take a ride down a road where it was too late to turn around. It was too late to pull back. So, I mean, I think that he knows that he went too far, but I think that he has to ride this road out, just in terms to, you know, of you know, his action in this. So, I mean, that's it, basically. I mean, yeah, it's disappointing to be, I mean, to have him as a representative of our state. I was highly disappointed in you know, his actions and what he said and what he did. But it comes with politics, man. That's why it's good and bad, I guess.
That was what I'll say is that, and I just have to think back to what I remember from politics throughout my life in general. That was one of the riskiest plays that probably at the moment when you're getting that advice and you're thinking about it and you're committing yourself to that path, you felt was going to work out. I don't know if I've ever seen a decision outside of even just politics, it doesn't even matter, turn around that quick on somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the matter of about 20 minutes that went from being a great idea, whether you agree with it or not, whether you agree with the reasoning or why he did it or not, to becoming one of the worst decisions I've ever seen somebody make professionally in my life.
One of my coworkers, he was talking about this all week. He was just saying, it was funny that Josh Hawley went to the Yale School of Law, and he don't really, I mean, he must not know how to practice law, because he was saying that him losing his book deal was a violation of his First Amendment. look, I'm not a lawyer, but I know that that's clear. That's not a case. I mean, that's not a, that's a terrible comparison and thing to try to break down.
Let me ask you this though. Do you think that knowing the political climate that we're in right now is that, so my theory is that there's a formula that if something doesn't go in your favor, you can say what it is that you don't like it and then just cite some roughly associated amendment, piece of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, the menu at Chili's, whatever. You can reference something else and say it's a violation of that, and you can fire up a bunch of people that aren't really worried about if it's true or not.
Yeah, because some people... Is that how it's working? Yeah, no, that's usually how it is. But like I said, I think that some people, they get to Washington and get out of touch with their constituents and where they're from. I think that Josh Hawley got to Washington and jumped on the Trump train too quick. And I mean, really forgot about all of his constituents. But then again, I mean, Missouri is a weird place. I think Marco always used a comparison to Missouri or Missouri. And I think that Missouri may have supported his actions. Now here locally, where we live, nah, we gonna write it on the street and resign. We gonna go crazy. But right. I think that in his part of town, where a majority of his votes come from, they applaud that.
So, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Quietly,
right?
Though, quietly.
Right, and that's what I'm concerned about. Like Josh Hawley. So Trump, like he didn't jump on the train. Like he was already on the train. Like Trump was coming and doing fundraisers with him to be able to defeat Claire McCaskill. And right. In the same primary and the same election that Josh Hawley won, that same election that Josh Hawley won, Missouri said, yes, we want medical marijuana. Yes, we want an increase in minimum wage. Yes, we want democracy reform. And yeah, we want Josh Hawley too. And Josh Hawley was against all three of those things. this is the issue. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, I don't know if this was a death blow for him, because he still has that base, right? I know there are grassroots organizations, including the one I work with, who are having race, class, narrative, transformative conversations throughout the state. And what we found is that some people, again, that media diet, I talk about it all the time, it's crazy even when Fox News was saying, yo, Josh Hawley went too far, right? But, and at the same time, that like the fact that when they're talking about the insurrection, they're talking about the failed coup, they still talk about it in a sense of these people did something brave. These people did, they're patriots. Like, no, like, and the fact that Josh Hawley was still saying going against the election results. This is why Cori Bush, this is why Representative Cori Bush said, like, you're going against democracy now. This is not about Republican or Democrat. This is about democracy. Even Trump-appointed judges said, man, get that case out of here. And they still was like, nah, they lying. Like, so that's disrespectful to the lawyers, to the judges, to the taxpayers. That's, to me, that's the ultimate disrespect that is coming to all these challenges. And states verified these election results. And they still saying, nah, just because our person didn't win. So that's frustrating. And again, because somebody died, I thought that would have been also something different too, right? A white woman got killed. They right. still was like, and a police officer got killed. They're like, and?
So that's that, and the point, all right, so I'm glad that you said that, Marco, because there's two things I wanted to get y'all opinions on as well. I want to go back to another thing that happened around Congresswoman Bush's statement saying that, you know, I want to give credit to Catherine Clark, who spoke up in the same way as that. And Catherine Clark, who spoke on the floor into the same tone as Cori Bush did, saying that she didn't get booed, however. You know, she wasn't booed for condemning white supremacy in the same way that Cori Bush did. Now, perhaps maybe she didn't do it to the same tone. We all know that there's very few, if anything, in the universe that can get his point across like a black woman. But and she absolutely did it. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say this with all the love in the world. When Cori Bush went on the floor and said what she said, I got the vibes I haven't gotten in an environment that I didn't expect to see them, like since 3-6 Mafia won that Oscar. I was like, this isn't what I'm used to seeing at this, but this is incredible. This is great. More of this. Please, please, please. I want more of this. But Marco, to your point, the divide is clear, you know, but it's clear. However, it's not. And this is one of the things I'm really interested in is the Republican Party right now. And I really need to. One of the things I really have been disappointed in this pandemic is that I haven't had the opportunity to talk to as many people unless I seek them out. So I haven't had as many conversations with people that I would just come across that maybe don't see things the exact same way I do. But the Republican Party, maybe this is a true or false, one of those yes or no questions like you had on the debates. It's two different things for sure now.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely two different elements now. And in fact, one, we already hearing that people are saying, we're starting a new party. Already got a term now. They call it Rhino, R-I-N-O, Republican in name only. Like people are saying like, oh, you're a Rhino. Like that, they are literally, they go and edit, but and even locally, we talked about this before. We still got the Greitens Kemp versus the current governor Kemp. You know, like we still got those two Republican camps still going at each other, even locally. I don't know where Josh Hawley falls in that. You know, I don't know if he with Parsons or Greitens. I don't even know. Right. But we are seeing that happen. And
yeah. I would say Josh Hawley falls whichever one of those camps he thinks he can capitalize on at the moment. Chameleon. He's a chameleon. He's going to go and go with whoever it is that's with him in that moment. Because Greitens and Parsons are two very different things.
Right.
But I tell you what, one of the things that I saw that was really just like, wow, these are some interesting times was when Danforth stepped up and said, this is the biggest mistake I've made.
That was major. Like, so Chris, like, let me ask you that, Chris, like how major is it for like somebody who was a well-loved senator or a well-loved rep come up and actually say, this person needs to sit down? Like, what does that have an impact or?
I mean, it depends on who it is. I think somebody with the reach of Danforth, that's huge. And then Danforth, I think, was like a mentor of his too, which makes it even more personal, and it makes it more worse for Hawley, because I mean I'm pretty sure that's going to impact him, you know, just going even further with just in terms of donors too. I heard that is his number one donor backed off of too, you know, and so I think you're gonna see a lot of people back off, but still, Josh Hawley ain't going nowhere. Stuck with.
Yeah, I don't see the path.
Book deal, by the way. He has another book deal too. Like somebody came, like, oh, I'll take that. I'll take that. This will be a money grab, you know. So
yeah, you're not going anywhere. I think that I think it's up to us. I think it's up to the Democratic Party to put forth a candidate that can actually win. That's something that the Democrats in Missouri always fail at. Like we pull somebody up. What I do?
You just made my entire evening with that. Because you're the person that I want to ask this exactly.
Uh oh.
Let's go the creative player route. All right. Let's say that we're gonna go out. We got attributes. We get to put it across the board. You don't get to go 99s across the board. But if the state of Missouri was to create a candidate like that would capitalize on this moment and would be able to step up and do what it takes to take that type of seat over. Because Marco, to your point, we're gonna be having that vote twice in the next 4 years.
Yep.
There's gonna be two separate seats are gonna be open with Blunt moving along as well. Who does that candidate have to be and what do they have to stand for in order to bring together those various Missouris?
That's a tough one, man. I mean, for a Democrat to win statewide in Missouri, they have to be a pro-gun, pro-life. Pro-gun, pro-life moderate. basically a blue dog Democrat, which in some folks' eyes, it ain't, you know, it's too far right. And I mean, not for me though.
Won't be a war knuckle also, right? Yeah. Won't be one of them.
But the other problem is, I think that whoever this person is, look, if I'm in the party now, I'm raising a ton of money based on what Josh Hawley said. If I'm the leader of MDP now, all I'm doing for the next 90 days, 6 months, 2 months, 3 months, I'm raising money. That's it. Because this is the time. I mean, it's basically chess moves. You know, if I am over the party right now, I am putting myself in a position to financially be a strong competitor and to raise somebody's name ID to be able to beat Josh Hawley. And that's where we always fall short is, you know, with the Republicans is most of the time it's about money and not being able to reach all ends of Missouri.
And the ears. I think that the ears in those parts of Missouri, whichever part you want to get to, they're just not open. And no. I think that Missouri is a textbook example of a place that has borders. Like, what's the point? You know, you can win Highway 70, but can you win Springfield?
Exactly.
Right. You know?
And that's the challenge. So I wonder what that person has to be. You know, I will say I could be wrong. I don't think I am. Is that it most certainly is not a black person.
No. What's that?
Huh? I don't know. So here's the thing, right? So it's going to be a challenge, yeah, for sure. But we talk about, like Chris, you mentioned earlier, exciting, right? I let people know all the time that I give all the credit to Representative Cori Bush. And the thing was, whenever she walked to the room, I want to be the first black woman elected as a woman of Congress in Missouri. Like, that's exciting because you actually bring people to something that being part of history and to show that you're not a sexist and not a racist. Like, she had that down. And I'm not knocking her for, like, I can't take that away from her, right? Like, yeah, I wanted to be a representative in Missouri when I ran, but I'm just replacing one light-skinned dude with another light-skinned dude in the first district. Like, it wasn't exciting, right? And I admit I failed in that capacity to make certain things exciting, right? But that was exciting. If you had somebody, it's going to be challenging, right? It's probably going to have to be somebody who actually is from a farming background, who also understands technology, also understands business in some capacity, probably even law enforcement. So, like, those are a lot of boxes to check
That's
off.
Too much. That's a lot, man. That's a lot for one person to have.
See, you just went into the creative. You went into the creative player zone. That's why I said we're not giving all these attributes. You can't have all that.
We got 4 years to get. And that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you, Chris. We got to start prepping that person now for Josh Hawley 4 years from now. Like, if the Democratic Party or parties, period, right? Because here's another issue: Republicans are going to have to figure out who to put up to. Like, anything just a Democrat problem.
What you mean?
They don't have a deep bench.
Not after last week.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they too got to go back to the drawing board. Y'all had Greitens. And this is the challenge with radical candidates. We gave you a chance on Greitens, and now we have 50 Shades of Greitens. Right now, we can't even deal with him. Right? We gave you a chance on Hawley, and now look what happened. Like, this is what happens when we have radical candidates who are, you know, who take the base a certain level, a certain place, and then that person end up doing something so foul and so wrong. Like, yeah, we need to go back to, we gave y'all Trump, now we got Biden.
We're going to always have that because the biggest fear of the Republicans that I know, the ones that are at my job, who don't know nothing about legislation, but the biggest fear that the party pump out is, hey, they're going to come in your house and take your guns. They're going to take your ammo. They're going to support that. And what I laugh and I tell them is, how many guns did you have when Obama became president? And they tell me the number. When did Obama come in your house and take your guns? No, you still have the same amount of guns, probably more, and probably more ammo.
And that's the great myth. And this is the thing that I always laugh at when I hear people say, liberals, whatever that means now, which I think is probably the most bastardized word in the English vernacular right now, is that liberals want to take your guns. Listen, let me tell you a truth right here. Almost every liberal I know is tooled up right with you. If you want to, here's a place. You say you got to meet in the middle. People got to meet in the middle to get over differences they've got. If you want to meet in the middle, go meet at the range.
But let me tell you something. The Republican Party does a great job at igniting that fear. If they just keep that fear on you, they coming. Did you see that on the news? Man, you can only buy so much ammo, or they ain't even selling ammo no more. Right. And I'm telling you, like, dude, I hear it every day at work. Like, they talking about they can't get a bump stock, they can't get a binary trigger. Next thing you know is, you know, this, that, and the other.
And that's the Republicans' bread and butter, is playing to people's lower fear. So, and again, like, it's MLK Day. Love conquers hate. Like, it's going to have to be somebody that's going to have to be able to deliver a message of getting rid of, stop living in fear. And let's live into a Missouri where we actually can. I know it's going to be challenging, man. I'm agreeing with you, bro.
This is what I think. I think that it's going to have to be somebody who walks the line. They literally walk in the line. Like Clara walked the line a lot, and that's how Clara won. What you shaking your head for? That's how Clara won. Like, she wasn't her.
So it's the first time she ran. Who she ran against? The dude who said some rapist consensual? Like, that sunk him.
But
that was a wrap. I respect Claire as well. Like, you know,
this is what I'm saying, Marco. Her messaging, Republicans felt fine voting for her based on her messaging. It was safe. It was safe message.
And was she also the first woman congresswoman of Missouri?
No.
U.S. senator.
I'm asking because I don't know. I don't think so. No. I think it was wasn't it Carnahan's wife?
After he died?
I think. I don't know.
Was she the first elected?
I don't know, man. Don't ask me no history, man. I don't know.
So, I know Matt looking it up. So
Matt, look it up, Matt.
I'm on it.
Because if so, that was one
of the... Hey, man, I look paper as well. He asked me all this.
They always told me if they ask you too many questions, there's always a way out of that. But that's a different conversation too.
Right. Hey, look, my computer broke. I think Marco, I think that here in Missouri, we are a long way from electing a black state statewide. And we've been saying that for a long time. I think years ago we had one person, I think his name was Alan Wheat. And Alan Weed, they end up working a deal and giving him a job. And that was his way out. He got paid.
Yes. Claire McCaskill is the first woman that was
first. That's exciting. I'm telling you. So I'm agreeing with you, man. Like, I'm agreeing. You're talking about exciting, right? To be part of someone bigger than themselves. It's challenging.
I think it's got to be, if I had to answer my own question, and I think, and whether people admit it or not, aesthetics matter when it comes to running for office. You've got to get a white woman who is attractive enough and is between the ages of 30 and 40.
Look at you.
She got to say the things that the people want to hear that isn't Highway 70. And it's got to be enough to sway people. So I agree with both of y'all, kind of. you got to have it. Because we can't sit here and act like representative politics don't exist. They do.
Right.
Especially in a place like this.
Yeah. So, and somebody told me a story today about now U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock. They said that he actually came here to Missouri for like an event at Moore Square that was based out of Kansas City. This is about, I don't know if they said this was 10 years ago or 5-6 years ago, but when they asked him, like, what is his self-interest? What does he focus on? He literally said, I want to be the first black U.S. senator from the state of Georgia or under the Mason-Dixon line, something like that, right? But he was working on this 5, 6, 10 years ago. He didn't just then decide out of nowhere, oh, somebody died? Oh, I'll run now. Like, hey, pick me. Like, this wasn't, he was planning and working on this for years. So I'm agreeing, Chris. Like, and we're talking about, and I'm saying in our lifetime, we'll see a black U.S. senator.
But who?
Hey, we got, that's, hey, comment, hey, everybody, if you watch this comment, who y'all think should be it, right?
If you think it's going to be you,
Cory Bush could do it this time right, around.
Get now so we can help you.
Yeah, exactly. If you think it's going to be you, hit me up so we can get started on that.
You know what? I'm more so excited about who running for alderman in the 21st Ward.
That's an exciting race, too.
That's my boy right there. Like, look, I'm for real. Like, that's the time. I mean, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of hope in us gaining traction. And when I say us, I mean Democrats in the state. I think that the party has seen this plenty of times where a Republican has done something or said something that was stupid, and we have not capitalized and in Matt's reference and hit a home run. We ain't been hitting home runs.
We did not take advantage of the fumble.
Exactly. Oh, you know, we ain't, yeah. So
and that's a criticism of the Democratic Party, I think, that extends way more than just Missouri. The Democratic Party far too often is satisfied hitting singles as opposed to trying to hit home runs, whereas Republicans have no problem striking out trying to hit the home run. Yeah, and that's the difference. Before we turn the corner from this part of the conversation to the last thing I want to hit for this episode, though, the thing I'll ask is that we talk about the Republican Party figuring out its different parts and what happens with that. How's that going to work for the Democratic Party too, though? Because we can't go back, we can't get to January 2021 and not realize that what, 4 or 5 months ago, if not longer, well, probably about a year ago or so now, that there were at least two very different versions of the Democratic Party. And all of them were manifesting in DeMarco's comments on Facebook. All of them were there. Every different part of the Democratic Party was in his comments on the post during the primaries when Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. And I think it would be foolish to think that we move past that and are just going to be a united front now. I think that both political parties in the state and beyond are going to have to figure out who they are now going ahead.
No, I think that the party going to really have to produce some stuff for the people that support the party. That's it. I'm gonna just say that. Like, I think it's time for people who have supported the party for a long time, for years. It's time for us to reap some of the benefits of that support.
And I think that has to start with the demand from the people, though, to not let parties lean back on identity politics, though.
Yeah, you yeah.
Just
yeah.
assume that I'm gonna show up for you because of what I look like.
Exactly.
For letting the parties do that a lot though too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this may be too broad a question, but I promise I'm gonna shrink it back down because you asked like who's the Democratic Party gonna be, same as the Republicans. I think the big question is who's America gonna be, right? The book that I just read, Politics for Power, How to Move Beyond Political Hobbyism, Take Action, Make Real Change. That's a book, right?
Time out, Marco. I want you to make this point, but I also want you to notice that Chris just shook his head at you and you said you read a book. So I just want to say that.
I know. It's okay.
No, right? That's all I want to say. You always care about America. What about, I care about black folks.
I'm getting there.
Right, let me hear it.
Yeah. So one of the key things, right, that's actually showing up differently, and especially with black folks. And again, this MLK Day, right? So let's keep it super 100. At one point in time, there are different levels: charity, advocacy, activism, and then organizing. Right? The charity is going to happen. The advocacy, people speaking up for others, that's good. That's different, right? Activism is at an all time high because of everything that's been going on in Black America. Right? Now we are at a point of organizing. That's what Georgia just showed us. Right. So when we are organizing, that's going to be the difference. It's one thing to have an MLK. It's another thing to have a civil rights movement. When we are looking at what the Democratic Party going to do, is going to be how are they bringing in the elements of the current modern day civil rights movement, If they're not doing that, we are going to continue having this oh, let's just get somebody just to pacify the moderates, the people that Martin King talked most about. Like, these are the most dangerous people. The white moderates, the white conservatives, the ones that are on the fence, that don't want to be called racist, but they're not going to stop the racism. Them the most dangerous, them still, to 2021, still the most dangerous people, right? Even after all the radicals in D.C., the ones that stayed home and said, oh, man, that's messed up. So what's next? Like, click, like, no, we need y'all to go talk to y'all cousins, right? But for us, for Black people, for Black America, the Democratic Party ain't going to save us. I said that last show. It's time for us to organize, not just being keyboard activists.
You said that to Mike? You told him that the party not going to save us?
Yeah, I said that to Mike. Yes. I didn't say it to Mike.
Yeah, man. Hey, slow up.
but because literally, and again, mind you, anyway, so I'm agreeing that it now is about organizing. Whoever actually organizes and actually work towards those changes. So the 21st Ward got real problems, right? Which alderman, which candidate is going to actually bring forth those solutions?
John Collins.
Who?
John Collins.
I hope he does well. I hope he does well. My cousin is T'Challa Masipa is also running that race, and several other candidates. So with that being said, so we really should have all the candidates from 21st Ward come on as well. We gotta definitely have a forum debate with them too. And then it's gonna be about which Democratic Party can say, look at what they did in 21st Ward in St. Louis City. Look at which mayoral candidate really took a hold and excited the North Side. This will be up to the Democratic Party to find people like that. That's
you
what's
running
gonna
away.
Be.
Look, you're running away from the number one thing that Matt wants. Look, what can the party produce for African Americans? What can the Democratic Party? We constantly come out. What do we have to show for it?
They can't. That's what I'm saying. The party can't produce shit for them. The party can't. What can they do?
I thought you worked for the church organization.
For Metropolitan Congregations United.
But look,
and again, so listen, Martin King used to carry a gun. So screw that, right?
That don't make him.
right? And Jesus beat people up out the temple and said, "Get the hell out!" Right, including demons. Get the hell out! Right. So, but I'm being serious, right? Like, when it comes to what can the Democratic Party do? Again, work with those who are organizing in the Black communities. And that's literally, again, we talk about Georgia, Stacey Abrams. It wasn't just Stacey Abrams, of course. It was all the different grassroots Black woman-led organizations that won Georgia. Flat out. That's what the Democratic Party can do in each state and figure out who those people are in each state. In each state. That's the difference. So not
that's
on
your
national
plan.
State. That's my opinion.
That's your platinum plan. That's your ice cube platinum plan.
Hey, I'm a nuke, man. It's always gonna be diamond plan. I'm a nuke. Always gonna be diamond.
All right, y'all. So I want to ask y'all this too, and this can apply to the nation. It can apply to Missouri. It can apply to St. Louis. It can apply to your ward. However you want to break down the question. Today, this show's coming out. Show's coming out on January 19th, 2021. Day before the inauguration of Joe Biden into the office of president. We don't know what that's going to look like. We hope for the best. We might not get it, but we hope for the best. Going back to 2016, stopping where we're at right now and then looking forward over what that four-year term is going to look like, what do you think is going to be where we were at in 16 compared to where we can get by 2024?
Marco, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, I can go if you want, but I think it's
ahead. I want to hear.
No, so I'm thinking about Joe Biden, and I'm thinking about also where we are at. I don't think we're out of the woods when it comes to it makes me cringe. I don't want to hear unity. I don't want to hear unity. I don't want to unify with those who think that it's okay to uproot democracy and not respect election results. So we're gonna be wrestling with that for probably several more months. I'm looking forward to those 2 years where the Democrats really do have top down, like pretty much like the presidency, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. I'm looking forward to that. And again, I encourage people locally to put pressure on your representatives and your U.S. senators to make sure they understand to get these bills passed. This is the year of not just activism, but organizing. And knowing that there are more organizations actually doing that, I have hope in that as well. Again, Biden, I'm looking for him to bail out certain industries that got beat up because of the pandemic. I'm looking for him, I'm looking for more people to put pressure for student loan reform, canceling student loan debts, and raising up the green industries with the hopes of making the planet healthier, but also knowing that that's also where the money at. That's where the money at these days is in green technology. And unfortunately, artificial intelligence is also increasing. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is some more information about or more bills on how we start interacting and living with artificial intelligence in our manufacturing plants and everywhere else on a daily basis. And then politically, after Obama won, like we saw like immediately within 2 years, the backlash. I don't think Biden is going to stir that same backlash as Obama stirred up, but Kamala, Vice President Kamala Harris, might do some stirring, might stir up that frenzy that might come out. So, I'm not going to say this is like 08. It's definitely not like 20. It won't be like 2010. It will be something different. But I think it will be still challenging. And again, it's about who's going to really listen and get those individuals, get those people in these rural areas to really see, to not live in fear. That's going to be the challenge.
Marco, what do you think is going to be the biggest difference between now and on the other side of the Biden administration?
I would say the difference maker would be Kamala. The difference maker and the fact that the U.S. Congress has actually got way more women in it now too, right? Both House and Senate. So I think we actually will actually see better policies, hopefully, that are more family oriented. More family oriented policies.
Okay.
Final answer.
That's it. Family and policies.
Family oriented policies. That's
talk about America first. So I thought for sure you're gonna have your next campaign slogan in there.
But I'm saying like women tend like, because who's leading the discussions and conversations about policy now? It will be women are going to start leading more.
But so you're leading too. Why? Don't stretch yourself. You leading.
No, I'm agreeing, right? I'm just saying like the discussion about women's rights is going to be different as the more women are involved in leadership, right? Which I think is a great thing, which I think makes sense already. You know, so I already got, you know, bleep once for saying something radical. So I'm going to stop right there, Chris. Your turn, man.
What was the question again, Matt? I'm sorry.
Well, it was going back to, you know, what we've been through the last 4 years, getting to this point. What do you think is going to be the biggest difference that you see from right now to the end of the Biden administration? This term, at least, let's just call
it. Hopefully, I'm going to put hope behind this. I think hopefully that Biden's first thing or one of the top priorities, and I'm pretty sure that his is based on something that I read yesterday, is that he can turn around our economy. You know, I think with him stimulating the economy with more money, I believe I think that right now that should be his number one thing. Another thing that I want to see locally, whoever wins for our mayor seat here in STL, I want to see them lean on Washington more. I think in the past, you know, I've the only time I've ever heard representation lean on Washington was when they wanted to call the FBI in, and when crime was too high here, and you know, murders were up, and they wanted us to get some of these bad guys off the street. That was it. But we need to do that on the offensive side too, not just for crime, but financially, for programming.
when it comes to economic development in these underserved areas, when it comes just for us to lean on Washington for more, you know what I'm saying, for more support. I believe that St. Louis City can be a great city, but we need extra help. You know, it's kind of like we need to trade for a KD and a Harden right now. You know, hopefully he will turn his focus back to global warming, which I know that he would. And I just overall think that Biden is just going to bring that respect back to that seat, you know, to the president's seat. That's something that we have that we haven't had the past 4 years. You know, people don't respect the seat. That's why they, you know,
it's been a lawless town because there's no respect for the sheriff.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And so I think for me, I want to see more locally. I'm preferable that. That he will change things at least in Washington, but I think that Biden is a comfortable change. He's comfortable. I don't think he's gonna do anything radical. I think that Kamala will, and I think that's you know, I think we gonna hopefully be in a better space.
I think so. That it's gonna be important for Biden to be the cooler. You know, sometimes you just got to run the clock, make the smart play. It's not always about trying to strike downfield or do anything huge. Just do the things that need to be done. And I think that, unfortunately, he's inherent in a country that is has no shortage of things that need to be remedied as opposed to drastically changed on day one. You know, I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him to make that impact. And one thing we know is that every president is going to want to make his lasting impact. So at some point, Biden will do something aggressive that's going to make you remember him. You know, he was part of the Obama administration, and we're still calling a healthcare plan Obamacare. Right. And some people still don't know that still is just really the Affordable Healthcare Act, you know? So we'll see what happens with it. But Chris, I do like the point that you made about St. Louis. I think that on a local tip, St. Louis is certainly at an important precipice right now, too. You know, there's some developments that are happening downtown that are really going to make or break what the future of downtown looks like. You know, how can we support those things? How can we make those be successes so that more people want to come back, so that you can build on Square opening up down there and build on things like the addition of another growing professional sports league and what you can do to maybe put some of those tax dollars together that you gathered for the last team that left, but you never ended up using. And I'm going to say this, I laugh at the fact about how you said that people voted for one thing, Josh Hawley. I think we're talking about how you voted for everything against Josh Hawley, but then that Josh Hawley was against, but then voted for Josh Hawley. Yeah. Well, we voted for a tax break that was going to support a stadium, but then didn't vote for the stadium. So hopefully we can straighten things like that out in the city too. Hopefully shows like this could give a little bit more of that. This is what we're really saying education too over the next 4 years as well.
Yeah. I mean, especially at the end of this year, 2021, like the boundary lines of the St. Louis City wards will be reduced and redrawn. Whatever mayor is going to have to deal with that. Whoever becomes mayor is going to have to deal with the airport still. Whoever wins mayor is going to have to deal with St. Louis City is losing money. Whoever becomes mayor is not to deal with knowing that was it a third or two thirds of the budget goes to the police. They're gonna have to deal with all that. So again, like it's gonna be some challenges and changes here in St. Louis.
This is something that we're gonna talk about, and this will be my last question for y'all for today. I know this is gonna be something we'll revisit as the mayoral race gets closer and intensifies. Early on, what is the biggest thing? What's your day one agenda for the next mayor of St. Louis? What do they have to get started on right away?
Let me think about that. You know what? I think that I can't name one thing. I think that whoever wins this seat is in the same position as Biden. They are getting a city that is struggling all around and needs a ton of help. I think it's going to have to be, I think it's crucial for, like I said before, whoever wins the seat, number one focus should be fighting poverty. You fight poverty, you end a few of our main problems that we are having here in the city. Just in terms of, like I said, crime, economic impact, just the lack of education. I think that it's not one thing that I want to see. I want to see somebody who I know. Like, when I vote for this person, they are going to create change in our city. And I want to hear a detailed plan before I vote. That's it, man. I mean, all this, we'll see. But I'm going to say this too. If you in a seat right now and you can make an impact on the stuff now and you're not, why would we vote? Why should anybody vote for you? Why should anybody vote for you to be in the number one spot? If you're not making an impact now and you can, what makes you think you can get the number one spot?
There's no light switch to this. You got a chance to show it, do it.
Yeah,
don't understand.
Yeah. So I would, I'm right there with Chris. So with that being said, it's not just one thing, but I will say, number one, get your team together. It better be a team of competent, community-oriented people that's gonna rock with you, right?
Because I'm gonna tell you, hold on, Marco, I'm gonna cut you off for 2 seconds. Oh, yeah. My wife hate when I cut people off.
That's cool.
I think whoever wins, or whoever running now, somebody needs to give Antonio French a call. I know a lot of people don't want to give French his props, but French had dope detailed plans for the city, and he knew what he was talking about. Maybe some people need to give him a call to talk about those plans that he had, because those same plans will work today.
Yeah. So having to make tough decisions like that, right? So, because it's not just about the team, it's also about the appointments. That's the thing about mayor, and that's why some people are running, to be able to have that ability to make those appointments. And then it's about making the city profitable, make St. Louis profitable again. Like, St. Louis is in the decline in population, taxes, money. To me, and like you said, we got to bring that money in.
Why are we on the decline? Why?
That's crime. A great question, St. Louis City residents.
That's what I'm saying. Crime is an overall thing that's killing stuff around here.
Right.
Crime, man, it ain't just killing people.
Yeah, I mean, and I always share, man, that is yes, police violence, community violence are measurable manifestations of policy violence to me. Like, we got to make sure. So I also want to see somebody really, really, really be serious about mental and emotional health, specifically for young Black people. Again, a lot of the issues we are seeing and witnessing out here is because there has been undiagnosed issues with young Black kids. And because we live in Missouri, where you can get a gun and they want everybody to have a gun, and the access, the ability to get a gun is way too easy. I ain't trying to take guns away. We just want to make sure that you're mentally, emotionally stable to get a gun. That's all.
I think that that comment even opens up another Pandora's box that we probably need at least another 2 episodes to discuss about how the impact of somebody in this seat and in leadership can impact the situation around the schooling in St. Louis, because that is an issue. And we saw that pop up this week too, but we'll leave that one where it's at. Fellas, I think it's going to be a really, I don't want to say defining. I don't like to be dramatic. I don't know what's going to happen around this inauguration, but if there's one thing I know is that America's seen pretty much every situation that can happen. So I'm curious to see how it keeps moving forward on the other side of this inauguration and moving ahead in this next administration. So I appreciate y'all words, man. And I appreciate y'all definitely putting something out for the people and having things there. No, man, I appreciate y'all having me. This is y'all show. I appreciate y'all having me. I'm just here. Hey, if the people can't hit you up, tell them where they can hit you up at.
Yeah, hit me up at dkdavidson@gmail.com, Facebook, DeMarco Davidson, that's my name. And I'm also on Twitter, DeMarco at DeMarco STL.
Any more events coming up soon? DeMarco,
DeBates.
Yeah, I don't remember any of them right now, but we'll share them. We can share them later. You know, I don't remember any of them off the top of my head. I know there's some coming up, you know, but I can't remember.
Chameleon Chris, what you got? They can find you too somewhere.
Yeah, I don't even know none of my stuff though, which is weird because I was on Twitter, but I got hacked, so I don't know. Chris Carter on Facebook. My wife is telling me. And willie.c.carter@gmail. If you want to send me an email, it comes straight to my phone, but my kid has my phone the majority of the time. So don't be looking for a swift response. And
and y'all can always hit up everybody here, man. SOLC Network on Facebook. SOLC Network on Instagram. We here. If you want to get any questions through for the show, if you got anything that you object against, anything there, let us know.
Man, make sure. Let me ask you something. Why we ain't got no SLC Network chains, man?
Yeah, I mean, if you want that, and you can help me build the budget out. That's the change I want by 2024. I want everybody to have chains, like we at the U.
Chains.
Everybody in the thing. Like, so you know us.
You tired of your podcast director?
I'm gonna take my 1400 Joe Biden bucks, I hope I get, and buy a SOLC Network.
Okay.
Northwest Plaza.
Man. Right in the middle.
If anybody didn't want that stimulus check, please forward it to us as well. Please. Right. If you don't want to receive,
we're gonna be doing community events with your stimulus check.
Right. We're gonna bring America back with y'all money that y'all don't want. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all. Hey, much love. We'll be back next week. Another episode of Politics as Usual, man. Peace.
Peace. You know it's the pink
one. Hey.